back here in Budapest, and it's a nice sunny day here. I had to leave New Vrajadam, and Devamrita Maharaj was with me, just staying for another few days, and then leaving Hungary. He was in the farm for a month, resting, writing, relaxing, and it's a shame to have him leave, but it's our good fortune that senior Vaishnavas are starting to look towards Hungary, and particularly New Vrajadam is a place where they can come and recharge their batteries, so to speak. Today I have another question, which here is following on from discussion over the last couple of weeks on self-sufficiency, farm community, being prepared for a change in the world around us. And this comes from Murli Manohar Das in downtown London. He says, I have been following the issue of rising food and oil prices and the consequences of the continuing pattern, and how yourself and other senior devotees are stressing the importance of self-sufficiency, developing our farm communities, etc. But what advice would you give to those of us who are living in the middle of cities and completely dependent on a secular world for just about everything? What should we do if all hell breaks out? Should we be proactive and make plans to move out along with the deities? Should we expect Krishna to inform someone through a dream of what to do? Should we simply sit tight and chant Hare Krishna? I've probably answered these questions in whole in different parts of the podcast, but anyway, let me address it again, since for me it's an important issue, and for many who I'm meeting in my travels recently, whether I've been to New Vrindavan with Balabhadra Prabhu and Soma Prabhu and other devotees, we've been discussing this topic. It's on everyone's mind. Even when I'm in Toronto speaking with family members, it's an issue that comes up, although obviously they're not discussing Srila Prabhupada's solution to this. When I come back here, Devamrita Maharaj and I are constantly discussing this topic, as well as Gaur Shakti in the farm and in temple presidents here in Hungary. We're sort of actively pursuing to do what I believe is the essential definition of this issue, as well as its resolution, and that is fulfilling Srila Prabhupada's order. There is global warming going on. There's a real economic crisis. All of this is compounded by all kinds of politics and an artificial currency system, which all points to some kind of inevitable crash. But that's empiricism. That's the process of Aroha Panta, gaining knowledge in an ascending way by sense perception, logic, and so on. But for us Vaishnavas, our way of getting knowledge is Avaroha Panta, descending process. So for me, the essential and more fundamental issue is not that people are crying wolf, wolf out there in the world around us, but that Srila Prabhupada 40 years ago had already defined for us how he saw our Krishna consciousness movement. That we have city centers where we preach, we have farming communities. In the farming communities, we have our Gurukula, where we educate our children, we protect our cows, we are self-sufficient through agriculture, we live simply, think high, pure, as much as possible. Our Grihastha community is based around the farming communities, and they supply the temples, the deities in the temples, by the city temples, the restaurants in the cities, with milk, milk products, and vegetables. And this type of circular service that the cities buy farm produce, the farm works and produces for themselves as well as for the city, makes us actually dependent not on a material consumer society who don't place emphasis on agriculture. We're only one, at most 5% of the people are actually feeding the other 95 to 99% who are manufacturing unnecessary consumer products. We're independent of that system, whether it rises or falls, and we have not only our own dependence, but that dependence is also in keeping with our philosophy and our lifestyle. It allows us to drink milk, not that we just only have a supply of milk from our farms, but it gives us milk which isn't blood milk. It isn't milk which is a consequence of the slaughter of cows. Automatically, the food that we grow is organic, because that's what we believe in. And so on, we have our pure, self-sufficient lifestyle. And that order was given to us by Srila Prabhupada. That was 40 years ago. That's two generations have gone by. We can't afford spiritually to neglect that order. Therefore, even if the consumer society goes unchanged for the next 10 million years, and there is no catastrophe and all hell doesn't break out, our business is to fulfill Prabhupada's order, and therefore we have to do it. And for me, that is the priority. That is the main thing why, yes, to answer Murli Manohar's question, you should be proactive. Proactive means that in every country of the world, in every major yatra, we should have at least a farming community that can supply the needs of our city temples. And if all hell breaks out, yes, you can pack the deities into a box and you can move them there. Should you wait until Krishna informs you about what to do? No, why do you need a dream to know what to do? We've got something better than a dream. Srila Prabhupada is here, a living person. He's already told us what to do. So if we can't hear Krishna's emissary directly, how are we going to actually listen to a dream or understand what a dream is? So we should be prepared. We should make all the arrangements. And then when it's time to move out of the city, then perhaps the deities will communicate to the pujari and says, okay, now let's go. You've made all the arrangements. It's too long or too late and too dangerous to stay here. Should we simply sit tight and chant Hare Krishna? I don't think that that's the vision Srila Prabhupada had for us, that while people are ravaging our whatever little food supplies we have within our city temples, they're coming to steal whatever valuables we have, or who knows. And these things do happen when lawlessness sets in to a city which has no supplies, no way by which people can eat or maintain themselves. And some brave devotees may sit there and do Harinam and preach. That may be calling for some men, but what do we do about our children and our women and even the deities and others? It's our obligation to ensure that they have some kind of more secure means, at least as secure as one can get here in this material world, and not be in the center of imploding economic chaos. So that's my answer to Murli's question, but I don't think that that necessarily answers what the real problem is. My assessment and what I see as being the real problem is the willingness of devotees to actually accept that such a thing as Srila Prabhupada talked about and what other people are warning us at the present time in the world, that such a thing can actually happen. In other words, that the world around us, as we know, the lifestyle that we know, can and will change. We may call it alarmist, that it's just crying wolf, that it'll never happen. But that does then call into question how strong our faith and belief is in Srila Prabhupada's words. So for me, this psychology, which is really connected to our attachment to electricity, televisions, telephones, computers, a simple lifestyle, a very comfortable, opulent life, is blocking our vision to be open to the reality that this type of lifestyle doesn't necessarily perpetuate itself. In fact, it's a dead end, that Srila Prabhupada had warned us that it will come to an end, and that we have faith in his words, and at least open enough to the possibility that yes, such thing could happen. This is not a ISKCON phenomenon. This is a worldwide phenomenon. It's a phenomenon that's always happened in the past, even though barbarians were breathing down their necks in northern Italy. The senators and the aristocracy of Rome were just not willing to accept the fact that their lifestyle of abundance, indulgence, and orgies was going to change, that it could change, because they were just so attached to it. They remained like ostriches, that if they stuck their head in the sand, then the problem would go away. But the problem didn't go away. There was a saying in the latter days of the Roman Empire that only poor people pay taxes, because rich people didn't pay taxes, and they're the ones who actually had money. Therefore, the very famous Roman army that conquered the civilized world, or at least made the world civilized, at least that part of the world, disintegrated. And ultimately, it just came down to blindness, attachment, and the wrong mentality, the psychology that because it happened in the past, it will happen in the future, it will continue to happen. Second World War was the same way. Hitler didn't pop out of nowhere overnight and take over Germany and the German army. It happened over the period of a decade before Second World War broke out. But no one wanted to believe that it was going to happen again. But it did happen again. And if you see historically, this is always a problem, is that although clouds are gathering on the horizon, people don't want to face the fact that there's actually going to be a storm and they're going to be drenched. So whether you're a simple practitioner at home with a job, whether someone is a temple president, a GBC, a guru, whether you're taking care of yourself only, your family, an entire community, or whatever, we need to be responsible Vaishnavas, and responsible Vaishnavas are people who heed the words of warning that they've received from their founder, Acharya, and do the needful. So, yes, Murali Manohar Prabhu, we should be proactive. We should be ready for all eventualities. It requires planning. It requires sitting down and seeing what to do with deities, devotees, how to get boga, where would we go. And it's going to require more than just working it out on paper, but one will have to allot time, energy, and most seriously of all, funds to realize such preparation. But then that's what preparation is all about, Hare Krishna.